Sam Hunter, boss man of Home Search. Why are estate agents so crap at looking after their applicants? Talk to me.
Okay. First thing, can we ban the word applicant? So I'd never heard that word in my life before, except for on a mortgage application or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you were still called a buyer. So maybe I can ask you the question, why, what does applicant mean? Where did it come from?
Well, it's one of those phrases like the word vendor.
Vendor makes a mild amount of more sense though, because a vendor is someone who is selling something and they are selling a property.
Okay.
These people aren't applying to buy the property, are they?
Okay. But I mean, in terms of, you know, every year that the best estate agent guy comes out from the property academy, they get Yomdil to do the mystery shopping, and they send two emails to every single estate agent in the UK, one buyer, one seller, and obviously with on the letting side, one landlord, one tenant, and 50%, I think it's 48 or is it 52? I can never remember, but in the last 2 years, never got a reply back.
So I don't think there's a really clear answer to that question.
I mean, that's the pure stats.
Yeah.
And everyone will say, well, that's not my agency. Them's is the stats for the country.
Well, this is what we were talking about in another video. You ask everybody, are you one of the people that never calls their buyers and their tenants back? And everyone says no. And yet here we are talking about what happens, and there's so many poor stories out there.
Well, I put myself on mailing lists and everyone in Grantham, and there's one agent that probably rings me every 4 months.
Every 4 months?
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah. I think
tenants, I haven't done anything for the last 6 months because the market's been a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I think. No, to give you what one called me, bless them. Sorry,
they say?
Jumping in.
No. What did they say?
We just got another house that's come on the market, thought it might be up your street.
Was it up your street?
No, it wasn't, but at least they gave me a call.
Yeah, that's true. I think laziness is an element. I think the fact that agents view a buyer or a tenant as a means to an end. And so since Adam was a boy, there's never really been a struggle in finding a buyer or a tenant, even in a market that is what, you know, people would describe as poor or soft or slow. If the property's priced well, you're going to find somebody who's interested in moving into it, whether they're paying you monthly rent or whether they're buying it off you.
Well, then that's the problem with the valuer, because they overvalue the property to get the listing, which gives it hard work for the next to do their work.
It does at a point. But I mean, I think negotiator can just ask questions of somebody who calls into them to find out what they really want. And maybe the property may be overpriced and they've said their budget's here, but there's probably something to work in the middle. I think, again, it comes back to instant gratification. If somebody doesn't want to view that property tomorrow, they're like, you're no good to me, because somebody probably will. Lack of training, lack of understanding that, or lack of foresight into the future. So everybody who buys a house or wants to buy a house in your marketplace should represent a pound sign. If you want to think about it in purely financial terms, they should represent a pound sign to your business at some point in the future.
But we motivate and pay our staff on the now. You know, every letting agent boss will always say, I want more landlords, but we pay our necks on move-ins.
And not very much at that.
So, and a landlord can be worth thousands and that. Yeah, I think I worked out the average value of an average landlord over a lifetime of an agency was £88,000. Yet we pay them 50 quid.
I think if you're thinking about why half the people that you're dealing with day in, day out are treated so poorly, if we're talking about 50% of those people that aren't ever called back or anything like that, it does come down to the people that are doing the work. And you said to me earlier that you've been looking, maybe not that seriously, but looking at buying something on and off for a couple of years, you know? So, and again, I'm generalizing here, but I would imagine that when somebody comes across Mr. and Mrs. Watkin in their CRM record and the notes say, been looking on or off for a couple of years, that person goes, I can't be bothered.
No.
You know? And then they come across the next person, and maybe they viewed something 3 months ago and didn't buy off them, but no one's contacted them since. Like, I don't want to call them and be the person that has to archive this record because they bought somewhere else. I'd rather just let that be somebody else's job. So there's not a great deal of responsibility that's taken in these, in many agencies.
Is that poor leadership, poor training, or something else?
All of the above, I think. So there isn't poor training without poor leadership. Does that make sense?
I mean, isn't it amazing that there are, excluding the corporates, there's probably 12 to 15,000 independent one office or two office estate agency companies, and you can name on two hands the number of estate agency trainers there are. I mean, in Australia, where you come from, every man and his dog's an estate agency trainer.
This is true. I think there's probably more than we know about here. That I just don't think that they're teaching anything of merit. So coming back to that point about poor leadership or poor training, it's difficult to offer poor training. It isn't difficult to offer poor training, actually. It's difficult to offer good training if you don't have the revenue to pay for it. And if you don't have the revenue to pay for it, it's probably because your staff don't have the confidence to hold their fees or raise their fees or even offer a service that would justify that. So it's this vicious cycle that just keeps tightening in on an industry. You know, if we talk, there's another video in this somewhere along the way, I'm sure.
I mean, the average fee in the UK in the last 15 years has gone down from 1.6 to 1% plus VAT.
So even 1.6%, I think, is low for the amount of work that is often required, not just to sell or let a property, but to do everything else behind the scenes and to make sure, you know, everyone says you sold my house in 24 hours. I can't believe that was so quick. You did nothing. And the reality is that's 10 years of experience and understanding marketing and buyer psychology and the right words to use to evoke an emotional response and to find probably the one or two passive buyers that force that super hyper logical right move obsessed buyer to make a competitive offer where on everything else they'd missed out because they didn't have that inherent competition. No one talks about that, you know. So when I'm, if we're talking about why buyers and tenants receive such poor service, it's because if I'm sitting there and I'm a negotiator earning 15 grand a year and 10% on my commission, what incentive is there for me to call Mr. and Mrs. Watkin to see how their property search is going? You know, and if I don't have anything on my register that suits your needs, and maybe I don't know your needs because I haven't qualified you properly, haven't got to know you properly, what incentive is there for me to call you up and have a conversation with you? So it is potentially poor leadership. It is potentially poor training. It's definitely poor remuneration. You know, I think people, one of the first things that I got taught when we started Home Search, the like chairman of our board said to me, people will not do good work if they are forever thinking about money. So don't be scared about paying people what they're worth, you know, even as a startup. And that has sat with me ever since. And it was really interesting, again, coming back into my career. When I started out as a PA, I was paid $35,000 a year as a wage. And then if we hit our targets, I got $2,000 a quarter as a bonus. As a 21-year-old, not huge money, but it was enough for me to pick up the phone 50 or 60 times every day to try and book one market appraisal in the back end of the GFC where nothing was happening. Here, if I'm on, 15 grand. I remember when I sat down for my interview with the company that I worked for in London, and I said, what do you get paid? And they said £16,500, but you get a car and you get a Microsoft phone. And I was like, what? And what's the commission? Because I was used to earning 55% as a base, and then you can get up to 65, 67% depending on your performance. And they said 10%, you know, but the good people earn 15%. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Again, good real estate is about taking responsibility, you know, for your clients and for what they're doing, because the way that you behave and the way that you act and how you handle yourself and the way you communicate has a material effect on their lives, whether they're buying, selling, renting, or investing. It's difficult to take on that responsibility for less than $2,000 a month.
Thank you for your time today.